For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, Jay, if you leave the Dallas Cowboys, you can't come back until the 2030 season.
Really?
Witness dictated not read.
Are you going to sign it?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I can't do it.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, Steelers writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, host of the Jim Jackson Show podcast, Jim Jackson. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Yeah. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Hill. And today, once again, happy to be back with the fellas. And feller, Chris Brockman, TJ, everybody. Shout out to everybody behind the scenes as well, man, that makes this show so special, man. It's such a great environment here. I love it here. I can come back anytime. Anytime you guys want me, I'm here. Let you know.
All right, well, if you keep acting right, you'll keep coming back.
Wow.
Ooh, I like that.
Wow.
Acting right.
Nice.
What's that mean?
Just Brock keep acting right.
That's your man's over there.
I mean, keep on acting right. Let's come back.
I'm saying, you be coming back, right?
So you've been acting right. Man, I appreciate it. You know, I realized the last time I was on the show, you know, Rich kind of gave me some inside information about how you guys feel about me behind the scenes. I love that, man.
I don't even know where that came from. To be honest.
Wonderful. So, yeah, you know where it came from. Well, you love me, TJ.
Well, it's like we say about having team meetings and then it leaking, right? Like, Rich had no right to leak out.
He's a snitch.
Our team meeting. Well,
apparently, the team meeting only lasted 30 seconds. Yeah. But we talked about a lot of things.
A lot of things. Yeah. Jelly, we're going to talk about the Joel Embiid situation coming up as well. Hey, and just in case you missed it, big news for the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, they got top quarterback in the nation, pretty much. Julian Lewis, who decommitted from USC, has committed to the Colorado Buffaloes. Here's what he had to actually say about playing for Deion next year.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, I'm excited to learn under Coach Shermer and Coach Prime. I was talking about it the other day. I don't think there's a better person to learn how to read defenses and coverages than Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. So, I mean, just trying to grow mentally is my big thing.
Yeah, he was on the Pat McAfee show, just made that commitment right there. Of course, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks out there in the nation. So for Colorado to get him, that says a lot. Because over the last couple of days, speculation back and forth if Prime was going to leave. First of all, there is no way in hell Julian Lewis is committing to the Colorado Buffaloes unless he is pretty much assured that Prime is going to be there. Because you're not going to decommit from run program because of USC obviously having the issues that they're having and not knowing what's going on with Lincoln Riley and all that type of stuff like that. The unshortness there. I just made up a word. I don't know what that means.
Unshortness?
Unshortness. Yeah. Or whatever. You're not sure. And then commit to a Colorado program if you don't know the coach that you're committing to is going to be there. He didn't have to make this decision today. So there had to have been some kind of assurance from Prime. I don't know what it was that he's going to stick. Now, this changed my mind. And I can admit when I'm wrong, because I just said an hour ago when I first came on the air that I am pretty much sure that Prime is leaving Colorado after this year.
Yeah, you were like, bam, he's out.
I was like,
you said it with your chest.
But like, here's the reason why I said that. Mm-hmm. Now, Prime has a new show out on a streaming network. I'm not going to mention because we're on a streaming network too. But he called I Got Time Today with Roxy Diaz. And here he had Ice Cube on the show with him. And he was talking to Ice Cube about his future with Shedeur Sanders actually leaving the team, going to the NFL. Here's what he had to say.
Your son, did the doggone thing.
Like, yes.
Like no other.
Like your son doing the dog. Your two sons are doing the doggone thing.
So tell me this.
Yeah.
What would you do? You in my situation.
Help them get to the next level. Any way I can.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But should it go past that? Or
what do you mean past that?
Let him go to the NFL and continue to coach his son.
Hey, yeah, no, hey, come on now, why not? Especially if it's in a Raider uniform. Yeah, no. Come on, baby. Oh, man, don't get me to acting a fool. You know what I mean? That would be a dream come true as a fan of the Raiders.
Now, obviously, that was something that was taped days ago. Sure. But if you're the head coach of a prominent program and there's speculation about your future, you're not joking about that. You're not even – I know it's entertainment. I know it's part of the show and you want to get buzz for the show. And obviously, that's the first episode of the show. You got buzz. You even know that Prime has a talk show now. So that's buzz. But when you know that there are recruits out there like Julian Lewis before he committed – that are thinking about your program, and you got other coaches. You know how college coaches are. Oh, he ain't going to be there. Why, you think about going to Colorado? He's not going to go. He's going to the NFL. He's going to follow his son. He only cares about his son. He only cares about Travis, nobody else and all that. You know, doing everything they can to throw, you know, cold water on Colorado in the program in prime time and everything like that. You're not even playing like that. So at that time, when I heard that yesterday, I'm like, oh, I was kind of vacillating going back. But when I heard them, I'm like, he gone. He's not staying at Colorado if he's even playing like that. But then the news comes today. So I'm confused as hell. Like, I don't know what. I have got to believe that he's staying in Colorado and coaching these kids because Julian Lewis would not commit to that program. You guys feel the same way? Are you on board with that?
I was on board with Deion entertaining the NFL if the right situation came around. It seems like the Raiders, you know, are in a really good spot because they're going to have a high draft pick to take a quarterback, which they desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
But that would also be one-dunning Antonio Pierce, which, you know, Mark Davis, I don't think really thinks he's still paying Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants to pay that
kind of
money.
I don't think he wants to pay, you know, 3 or 4 years, whatever's left on Antonio's deal, to pay him not to coach there.
Right.
And
then you got to pay Prime.
That's bad
Prime's
business.
Want
then
some
you got to pay Deion,
yep.
top level money.
And then you got to draft his son. Pretty much, you pretty much want to draft his son.
So I don't know. I guess when you really talk it out, and now this, I mean, look, Julian Lewis is a number two ranked player in ESPN's top 300. He's not going there to play for someone else.
Pat Shurmur being elevated.
I mean,
because the Colorado program. Regardless, like Travis Hunter, obviously, you know, Shedeur Sanders are the star athletes. They're the Heisman contenders right now. But that program is prime. That program, the reason we're talking about, the reason we had so much hype around Colorado last year that people got sick about because of Prime and his personality, what he brings to the table, his marketability. And you can tell, like, since he's been there, Colorado's exposures, like the
you guys attendance file rate, Fox is there every other week. It seems like you know,
Big Noon Kickoff is we're doing their game this weekend. We're doing the Kansas game this weekend. They're in Kansas City to do the Colorado Kansas game. They were there last weekend, I believe, too. No, they were last weekend too.
I think you're at Ohio State.
We're at Ohio State. But we're covering we have the Kansas Colorado game this week on Fox. But yeah, we're at Ohio State in Indiana. But yeah, absolutely. But we did Colorado a couple of weeks ago, if not last week. We do it all the time. But the reason why people even talking about Colorado, even in the mix now, in the Big 12, if it wasn't for prime time, even Colorado having the story and the season that they're having, if there's another coach that turned Colorado around from a one-win team 2 years ago to a team that is, you know, what are they, 8-2 now?
Yep.
It's getting some exposure, but it's not getting the exposure that it would have gotten. It's getting like, okay, it's a great story in the Big 12. We're talking about how the Big 12 might be down a little bit, and okay, this is a great story, but it's not getting the hype. Obviously, also having two Heisman candidates on your team also gets you a lot of hype too, with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and all that type of stuff like that. But Indiana's a great story in college football, and Indiana doesn't get as much hype or love as Colorado does.
No.
And they don't talk about their star players. We know about Curtis Rourke. I know because, you know, I cover college football. But it's not getting the hype. Primetime is Colorado football. And so, once again, you're not getting a quarterback like Julian Lewis to commit to Colorado unless he knows that Prime is going to be there. Because Julian Lewis obviously has, you know, dreams, I assume, to go to the NFL. If Julian Lewis is there at Colorado, obviously the eyeballs will be on them. There will be, especially coming off this season, say Colorado goes to the college football playoffs. They lose Shador. They lose Travis. You keep Prime. More hype is coming next year.
Yep.
Even without Travis, even without Shador, Prime is still there. The sideline is still packed full of celebrities.
Yeah, Warren Sapp is on the coaching staff.
Sapp is on the coaching staff. You know, you got Ed Reed coming in helping out. You got T.O. coming in helping out. You got the sidelines full of rappers. And it's almost like, remember when Prime played for the Falcons back in the day? And the sidelines used to be full of entertainers.
Yeah.
MC Hammer and all those before the NFL started saying you can't be on the sidelines during the game or whatever. This is what Colorado football is now. With all the athletes, Kevin Durant, everybody coming out there. I'm pretty sure LeBron will be out there. Stephen, everybody comes out to watch a Colorado football game on small sidelines. Prime is Colorado football. And you're not getting a guy like Julian Lewis unless he knows Prime is going to be there. As good as Pat Shurmur is as the offense coordinator, even if they elevated him to become the head coach, you ain't getting him. He ain't committing this early. He definitely ain't committing that early. He's not. But once again, Julian Lewis knows that if Prime is there, TV camera's going to be there. His game's going to get exposure. Even when the team won four games last year, Colorado still got some exposure.
Yep.
Even if you hate them, going to get some exposure. Even if they're not doing well, exposure, because it's almost like Floyd Mayweather in a sense. He's so good at what he does, but there are a lot of people out there that love to hate him and want to see him fail.
Yeah, they're tuning in. So like the Howard Stern thing kind of back in the day. They're tuning in because they love him. They're tuning in because they hate him.
Because they want to
see what he's going to say and what he's going to do next.
Yep. There's a contingent of people that want to see Colorado succeed, that want to see him do well. There's a culture issue as well. There's a culture difference too. Because if you look at, like, Colorado's become what
Miami kind of was.
Miami back in the
day. Minus the championships.
Miami back in the day, love to hate them. Georgetown basketball back in the 80s.
True.
It's a culture thing where there's a large contingency of black people that watch Colorado football that don't even like football. Don't even like college football.
But they like Deion.
But they like Deion. They like Prime. They like the swag that comes along with it. They like the flashiness. They like all that type of stuff. And then there's another side of people of all races and ages that just don't like Prime. They don't like him because he is cocky, because he is what they call arrogant or whatever. I don't think he's cocky, arrogant. I think he's confident. Well, I think he backs it up.
Well, we also know him.
Oh, yeah, we know him.
And we know what's for show and what's the real person. And so we can kind of differentiate that.
And we know what he brings to the table when it comes to the kids. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't get enough credit for that, when it comes to the kids, how much he actually cares about the kids. People just saw what happened when he first came in, and, you know, the talk of, like, I'm bringing my own luggage and it's Louis.
Yeah, the luggage. A lot of time. Stuff,
He didn't basically say, hey, y'all can go to the transfer portal, but if you don't fit in, if you're not here to win, like, it was a one-win team 2 years ago. People forget about that. Yeah. Colorado was the worst team in FBS 2 years ago. It was bad. It wasn't even close, man. They were getting blown out in games. For him to even turn around the team and win four games last year, to win, go 3-1 in the beginning and then 4-1. I know they lost 7 of the last 8 games, whatever. And people are like, oh, this is terrible. This team's terrible. I'm not going to win. I knew. I'm like, he's building something, a culture. He even said it last year. He's like, hey, get me now. Get me now because we're coming. We're coming. The people I'm bringing in, and even in the transfer portal this year, because he brought people in last year. They didn't work out. Hey, man, you're not working out. Hey, that's what you got to do as a CEO. So if things ain't working out, if people aren't aligned with what you want, when it happens to be your goals and things like that, if they're not aligned with that, you going to keep them around?
Right.
Why would you keep them around?
You wouldn't.
You got to bring in your people. You got to bring in the people that's going to help you get to your goals and align with what you want or whatever. And that's what Prime did this past season. And look at the defense, man. Look how the defense was giving up 34 points a game last year, giving up 22 points a game this year.
Or even more importantly, look at the O-line that was just getting Shador beat up. And then they went out, got the number one lineman, and they now look at that line. And I said this myself last year, Mike, it's as bad as it's going to get last year.
Yeah.
Because from now on, these kids are going to see the shiny object, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it. I want to go there. I want a piece of that.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that. It's only going to keep getting better. I hope he stays.
I hope he stays.
He can build a powerhouse in just a few years, man.
He's already done that. If they go to the college football playoffs, man, look, the Hoosiers are a great story this year.
Yep.
If the Hoosiers get past Ohio State, obviously Indiana will be the story of college football. I'll give it to them. But if Colorado, a year after going 4-8, 2 years after winning one game, goes to the college football playoffs this year with all the hype that's around them and everything, bruh. Yeah, he's building something. He's already done it. They're here.
The college football playoff is a television show.
It is.
Ain't no bigger draw on TV than Coach Prime.
Ain't no bigger draw on television and football. Football, period. Than Coach Prime. See where he goes. Hope he stays in Colorado. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network Insider, coming up next, talking about Thursday Night Football and what's going on with the MESS, mess. Talking about the Jets, y'all.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
You got the name Ice Cube from your brother because girls were calling the house asking for you all the time and that you were too cool for your age. True or false?
They were calling for him. It's true. They were calling for him, and I would pick up, you know, trying to holler at him. You know, I was like, man, he got a big head. You don't want to be with him. You want to be with me. I'm a little bro. And he found out. And back in the day, they would, you know, if you had an old refrigerator, they would put it on the curb and, you know, the junk man to come pick it up. And we had one on the curb down the street that was there for days. He was like, you know what? Slam your ass in that freezer on at the end of the block. When they pull you out, you're going to be an ice cube. You know, kids die in freezers, right? So when I walked out the house, you know, I didn't want nobody to call me O'Shea no more. I'm like, my name Ice Cube. And so it just stuck. They start calling me Cube and never called me O'Shea since. Yeah.
Last one. Jerry Curl wigs used in Straight Outta Compton were valued at $15,000 each.
True. Man, I'm supposed to know about a Jerry Curl wig. We had the real deal. You know what I mean? Jerry did our curls back in the day. And I've heard about gangs going in and stealing, like, wigs and extensions out of, like, nail shops and hair shops. So I don't think they cost $15,000. If they did, somebody got beat. Because them wigs, someone was kind of tired. They needed work.
Well, I'm just wondering if you were a producer of the film, you had to okay whether the wigs were passable or not.
Yeah, I did. I did. I was really pretty anal about that because some Jerry Curl wigs can look comical. And this was not no comedy, you know. So we had to make sure they look right and it didn't look like, you know, the Soul Glow family from Coming to America.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. On the TV side, they were showing clips from an old Ice Cube interview talking about the Jerry Curls or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, he had the classic Jerry Curls back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
NWA, Ready for the World, Jerry Curls. You know who also had a classic Jerry Curl Prime. Back in the day? Prime.
Yeah, he always says it. It looks wet.
It looks dry. Wet, but it was dry. Look wet.
Look wet, but it was dry.
But it was dry. Prime had a great Jerry Curl back in the day.
I don't even know what that means.
That's fine.
How white of you.
Brockman has never had Activator in his life. Man. Never had to worry about like glycerin Activator or anything like that.
I haven't had hair in like 25 years.
Yeah, well, and you know, in black folks' homes, a lot of pillowcases were messed up. couches, furniture.
Pillowcases.
Yeah, back in the day, man. Drip, 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 drip,
follow drip, follow drip, drip,
follow the drip.
Can never commit no crime. All you gotta do is follow the drip.
On the Tom Pelissero had a Jerry Curl. He's got good hair though.
Oh, Tom's hair is.
Yeah, look at that hair right there.
Ooh, speaking of looks wet but is really dry, that's kind of my whole look here, Mike. I mean, look at that. You know, this is from like 8 hours ago. I've told the boys before, the secret, put a little coconut oil in there.
Coconut oil.
In all day. Man. Always looks like you're fresh.
Tom's got a new mantra now for his hair.
What is the new mantra? What's the mantra for the hair, bro?
What looks wet.
Looks wet, really dry. Yeah. And only for the hair. Yeah,
only for
the hair. Up to the fellas in the studio,
Tommy,
too.
I never noticed how white his teeth were, too, man.
You get
Zoom, Tommy P. Look at that. Look at that, man. His gums are good, too, man. He's got a good dental plan.
Right?
I think it's the filter. I think I'm on a filter on Zoom. I don't know. But they are looking a little whiter than normal today.
That helps right there, man. I don't know if you're married or not, man. That's what he's trying to get at. Let's talk some football. Let's talk about Prime for off the bat. We were just talking about possibility of leaving Colorado, but now they got Julian Lewis there. He's going to stay there. Is there actually a market? Are there teams out there that's like, hey, you know what? We entertain Prime coming here. We heard about the Cowboys and Raiders, but is there a big market out there for teams needing a head coach that would be interested in Prime?
Well, here's what I'd say, Mikey. On average, right, we've got 7 to 8 head coaching openings in the NFL, which is a pretty good number. And there are not 7 or 8 dialed up candidates who I'm like, absolutely, that guy I think is going to get a job this year. So that does create some variance in terms of what the candidate pools are. Every team is going to have different criteria for what they're looking to hire in the process. Some are going to want experience. Some like the up and comers. Some like offense, defense. Some don't care. They just want a leader of men. All of which is to say, what we know is the Deion, you know, Coach Prime, has won at the two stops that he's been. He won, you know, in his initial stop, and now obviously at Colorado, he's managed to do the same thing amidst all the attention, much of which he brings on himself, but all the additional scrutiny that he's got. So from that perspective, and the fact that his name does still carry clout in the NFL, I think that if he were truly open to it, or depending the extent to which he pushes the idea of, you know, only steering his son to a certain team, there would be teams potentially interested in at least having a conversation with Deion about a job. Now, my personal opinion on this is Deion Sanders is perfectly made for 2024 in college football. You know, he's there to make money. The players, they're there to make money. Let's all make money together. We're going to compete. We're going to have fun. I'm going to get you prepared for the NFL. I'm one of the greatest to ever do it. You can recruit. You know, the NFL is a little bit different. There's a salary cap. There's a draft. There's, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And you're dealing with, you know, adult men whose motivations might be a little bit different. Again, I think that one of the undersold things about Deion Sanders is the staff that he put together at Colorado. Yeah. He's got a really strong staff with a lot of NFL names. I know you guys were just talking about what they're doing defensively. Rob Livingston, who used to be the Bengals coach in the secondary, is now the defensive coordinator at Colorado, and they've been one of the best in the country this season. So all those aspects are there. If I'm Deion, I'm thinking I might be the only guy who knows how to work the system, how to win in college football over the long haul. I know he said recently he's got the kickstand down, but if he ever decides to put that thing back up, do I think that the NFL at least would have some interest in him? Absolutely, because he's something different that we really haven't seen before.
All right, we'll see what happens with prime time. And if he goes somewhere, if he's allowed to actually, you know, get his son there as well, because a lot of people are saying that the reason he would go to the NFL so he could draft Shedeur Sanders, and that doesn't quite work that way sometimes, you know, like if you're
getting hired in January, if you find out at the end of April, hey, he got drafted one spot above you, it's like you can't back out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It don't quite work out
lot
that way.
It's a lot harder unless you're going to the team that's got the number one pick, because listen, that, you know, back in the summer when you get all the early grades from teams, and there's like a half dozen guys at that point who were like first rounders or borderline first, second round. There's not a lot of other guys who have managed to keep that type of reputation within the league right now. Shedeur Sanders, you know, at this point, I had a lot of questions just about the entire experience with him. He's obviously a dynamic player, but he's played the best of all these guys. I don't know exactly where he's going to go. It's really early. It's November. He just accepted his invite to the East-West Shrine Game, where I know they want him, everybody who goes to those games, to play now. It might be one snap for Shedeur in that game. But, you know, if I'm guessing right now, he certainly has a chance to be the number one overall pick, which would leave Deion exactly one place that he could go if that team's even looking for a quarterback.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Hey, the Jets need a head coach. Jets need a general manager. Jets may need a quarterback next year. What's the future look like? If you had a crystal ball right now, what's the future look like for the Jets?
There's a lot of unknown. I think that's the best way to say it, Mike. And as much as Aaron Rodgers may have contemplated the different directions this thing could go, you know, whether he's in the darkness or, you know, doing some of his plant medicine or whatever and thinking about all these things, the journey didn't look like this in his mind. I guarantee you that. There was no way he was fathoming being 3-8 at the bye. The head coach and GM have been fired, and we're all talking about whether or not he's going to retire after the season. Here's the hard reality for Aaron Rodgers. He turns 41 next month, and right now, not only is he not prime Aaron Rodgers, won four NFL MVPs, he's not even a good NFL quarterback at this point. He has struggled. There are things happening right now, and whether it is physical, whether it is mental, whether it's the emotional toll of just this snowball rolling the wrong way, you know, the wrong direction down the hill, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look right. And it's a hard thing for the Jets or anybody else to figure out exactly why that is. They do have him under contract for next season. They also can cut him and basically be out from under the contract immediately. Mm-hmm. For a long time, Mike, if you go back through time, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they generally walked away. And there's a long line of this. So at 37 or 38 years old, almost everybody walked at that age. There were guys like Warren Moon who played longer. Obviously, George Blanda, but he was mostly a kicker toward the end. Then Brett Favre played till 40. But Brett Favre's age 40 season was not good. He got the most durable quarterback in NFL history, got knocked out of three games with the Vikings after deciding to come back after that magical 2009 season right up until he threw the interception. You know, that's the guy that Aaron Rodgers grew up watching, and his career in so many ways, including going to the Jets at the end, has mirrored Brett Favre's career. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers' intentions are. I'm not sure anybody will fully know what his intentions are until he decides to reveal them to the world. But I think that it would be really hard right now, based on what's on tape, to find many, if any, teams going, you know what, if Aaron Rodgers does become available, I'd want that guy as my starting quarterback at age 41, 42 in 2025.
Wow, yeah, we were just discussing that Brett Favre's not, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not that guy anymore. Maybe he's the last piece of the puzzle on a great team somewhere, but not the guy that's going to get you over the hump. I mean, not everybody
But is he even the last piece? That's the thing, Mike. Like, we're not talking about, you know, is he still a top five, top 10 quarterback? I think there's a real question of, is he one of the 32 best quarterbacks right now? I mean, statistically, you look at it and you just watch the games. He's missing throws. Again, is it in there somewhere? Maybe, but it's not coming out. And it's confounding to the people in the building. It's confounding to those of us. Listen, I covered Aaron in his early days. He's still the greatest practice player I've ever seen. He's been freaky in terms of the things that he could do, flicking the ball on the run and all that. Well, some of that got taken away in terms of just getting older, coming off the Achilles. He's not able to extend those plays. When he's done it this season, he's gotten absolutely drilled into the turf. And when he's playing from within the pocket, he's just flat missing throws that we didn't see before. Again, is that physically he's worn down? Is there some type of a mental block from the fact that, you know, missing the entire 2023 season and then coming back and maybe not totally trusting your body? I don't know. I think that Aaron Rodgers is very much in his head. I don't think anybody else is in his head right now. He's going to have decisions to make, but the bigger decisions is for the Jets and the rest of the NFL. Do you want to bring in 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers in 2025, or does he take that out of the equation and say, you know what, no matter, you know, what I've said in the past, like, I feel it. You know, I wanted to give it one more run. It didn't work out. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to disappear into the darkness.
I think you make a really good point, both from a physical and a mental standpoint. If somebody's had two Achilles injuries, obviously they've never played in the NFL as a quarterback or whatnot, but both mentally and physically, it's hard to come back after just 1 year, especially to play on that level. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe his best days are definitely behind him, but I think he's still a serviceable quarterback in the National Football League with the right team and the right situation. The Jets, obviously not the right situation.
They got a bye this week, 6 weeks to go. They're still mathematically alive. If they win six in a row, you get to 9-8. You at least, you know,
stop,
have
Tom.
A chance.
Stop. I'm not even going to let you finish that.
Can he find it? Can he find something? Let's see. If it looks exactly the same when they come back, Mike, in week 13, I just don't know that it's there. And again, the Aaron Rodgers experience is something that, you know, the Jets were going along with right up until, you know, the point at which he wasn't able to, you know, to play at the same level anymore. Is another team going to want to go down that road? There may be a situation out there. If he wants to play, he's a Hall of Famer. He's got four NFL MVPs. I just don't know really what you're getting at this point or what type of team is going, you know what, we want to bring all that onto our roster right now.
Well, maybe Woody Johnson should coach the team too, because he wanted to bench him after four games, according to reports out there. So who knows? But,
that's a whole other thing with, you know, listen, Woody's the owner of the team. He's allowed to ask questions. There's a lot of times in meetings where he's asking, you know, hard questions of people or challenging people's perceptions here, but this was not, you know, like an out of the ordinary type of a thing. Woody has a lot of meetings. You know, the fact that he's having a meeting with his coordinators the day after a loss, that's unusual. These are all questions as they're searching for a GM and a head coach that people are going to have about just the environment in the building. Woody quite possibly will not be in the building much come 2025 if he rejoins the incoming presidential administration, because he was the ambassador of the UK back in Trump's first stint as the president. So there's a lot of moving parts for the Jets at every level right now. His brother, Christopher Johnson, when he was running the team, did by all accounts a really good job. He's a very different personality than Woody Johnson. But we have to see how some of those things play out. But yeah, I mean, if they're, you know, beginning a GM search right now and then a head coaching search, one of the first questions is, what's happening with Aaron? And, you know, again, a lot of things can happen. We've seen stranger things in this league, but it's hard to imagine that plan A right now is, yeah, we're going to run it back again.
All right. Enough of the M-E-S-S-S mess. Let's talk about some other quarterback situations quickly. Running through, Giants make the switch from Daniel Jones. They go to Tommy DeVito. Why not Locke? Can you just say that they're trying to tank? Can you just tell me that as a Giants fan that this team is just trying to tank?
I truly don't think that that's what it is. I think that, listen, they had to do something. Okay. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, since the start of 2023, was 3-13 as the starting quarterback. We can talk about the injury guarantee and, you know, $23 million. All that's a function of sending him to the bench, right? And demoting him all the way to third, maybe fourth string, depending how they end up scoring things out this week with Tim Boyle now joining the practice squad here. But the reality is they weren't good enough. Like, when they say it's a football decision, it was. They've stunk with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback. And they've been trying to draw everything out of him here. But they had to make a move. With Drew Locke, you know, he has played some good football. I mean, he started off hot, you know, way back his rookie year in Denver. He's had a few opportunities. He played well when he took over for Geno last year briefly with the Seahawks. But he hasn't had a lot of reps in the system. He got hurt early on in training camp. Maybe it was the preseason opener. And then missed a lot of reps. So he just hasn't had a lot of time on task in the system. Tommy DeVito, you know, they signed him for a $10,000 bonus back in April of 2023.
Great story.
He's earned every opportunity that he's gotten. And when he got to play, they were 3-3 with him as the starting quarterback. I also really do believe, and again, these are football decisions, but who's going to buy you more time at MetLife Stadium before the fans get down your throats? Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito? Mm. With Tommy Cutlets in there, you know the building wants him to succeed for so many different reasons. They think, hey, we can win. This is our guy. He's from in our backyard. Good Italian boy from the neighborhood. He can get this thing done. Drew Locke's a really talented guy. If Drew Lock threw an incompletion on third down on the first series, he's getting booed. They're all getting booed. Tommy DeVito probably gets booed too, but probably he has a little bit more time here. It just it adds a different storyline. It adds a different juice. They're betting on all that, trying to find a spark. And they're another team that's just trying to stay semi-relevant, keep players engaged, because they do have a lot of young talent on that team. They got to find ways to get the ball to like some Malik Nabers.
All right, see if he gets the ball to Malik Nabers then. Let's see what happens there.
Hey.
Quickly, sorry, some quarterback injuries.
We'll accept that.
I'm
sorry, Tom. I don't
go Black Italian. Yay. I want some spaghetti. You want to put some Lowry's in my spaghetti. No, don't do that. Okay,
because if he comes back with something, then, you know.
Yeah, it's wrong. Go off the rails.
Yeah.
I'll let Tommy P, though. I think Tommy P got a little something. I told him he can come to the kick cookout, too.
Oh, me? That's my man right there. Tom already knows he's good.
Tommy P, okay. Quickly, quarterback injuries. Give me an update on Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts.
Brock Purdy, from everything I've been told, should be fine for this game on Sunday against the Packers. He's got a sore shoulder. I know he dove. I'm not sure if that's the play, but he dove for the pylon in a game last week. Might have landed on it a little bit, but it's not anything that's like a major injury. They want to ease off him in terms of the reps through the week, so didn't throw a whole lot in practice yesterday. I fully anticipate, barring some type of a setback or a surprise, which sometimes can happen with throwing shoulders, I believe he'll be in the lineup against the Packers. With Jalen Hurts, this is kind of a unique thing because he had a rest day before their last game, and then Nick Sirianni said in a press conference, oh, it's the ankle, but the ankle wasn't on the injury reports. Then it was, no, it's rest. Now they've kind of found the in-between, which is, well, he is resting the ankle. Jalen Hurts said that this is all part of the plan and the program that they've got him on to, you know, continue to build strength and be ready for the long haul here. Whatever it is, he's been playing on it. He's going to continue to play on it. And that Eagles offense that, you know, people were poking so many holes in early in the season and based on how it you know, functioned down the stretch, they're tough, man. I was at that game in Cincinnati where it was tied late in the third quarter, and then they kind of poured it on. That's where you saw it with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back. They got the explosive passing game going again. They got a guy in Kellen Moore as the OC who's, you know, long been known as a pass game guy. All of a sudden, he's on the team that leads the NFL in rushing attempts. They've found a really cool balance. They've got a really talented roster there. So obviously he's managing something. Again, another guy who it's been reiterated to me over and over, he's fine. It's not a big deal. So fully anticipate that he's out there.
Man, this is how quickly people turn things around in the NFL. 6 weeks ago, people have given up on the Eagles. They were going through all the injuries with Brown and whatnot. And, oh, man, Sirianni's in trouble. And now one of the top five teams in the NFL, man. Just stick with your team sometimes. Just stick with it. Tommy P.
Especially the Eagles, man.
That's the Eagles. That's the Philadelphia fans. Tommy P, a great NFL insider and also a man with great hair who should be in the Head and Shoulder commercials with Patrick Mahomes and Troy Polamalu. Let's make it happen.
We co-signed
that. I'll pop up on Patrick's other shoulder. And Polamalu's over here. We'll get me over here for Patrick. I like it.
Just give me blue steel with your look? You just can't kind of get the okay. All right. I like it. Okay. Tommy P, always good seeing you, my brother.
All right, Tommy.
Thanks, Mike.
See you, buddy.
Right. Tommy Pelissero right there. All right, hey, you know, the Jets, such a mess, man. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to apologize to Aaron Rodgers.
What? For what?
I'm going to apologize to Aaron Rodgers because a lot of people out there, and I think a lot of people should apologize to Aaron Rodgers. Not the quarterback he used to be. Obviously, he made a lot of mistakes. He's still, like, not the most likable person in the world. But everybody was blaming him for having the head coach fired. Right? Everybody was saying that he was the one that Robert Saleh got fired because of Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yes.
Right? Are you on board?
Yes.
Did Aaron Rodgers have enough power to get Robert Saleh fired. If you're hearing Woody Johnson after week four.
When Rodgers is playing pretty decently.
Okay, but this is week four.
No, I know.
Woody Johnson at that time wants to bench him.
I know.
Meaning that, hey, I don't necessarily want to see this man on the field. He's not my quarterback of the future, right? So how is it going to go from week four, if Woody Johnson said that about benching Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers has enough power to go to Woody Johnson and say, hey, I need you to get rid of Robert Saleh. Think about it. Am I on to something?
I'm smelling what you're cooking.
He doesn't have enough power to go to Woody Johnson and basically, like, and Aaron Rodgers, if we found out in the press weeks later, Aaron Rodgers found out beforehand. Unless Aaron Rodgers did like some kind of Jedi mind trick and said, hey, you know, it ain't me. And Woody, it ain't me. It's Robert Saleh that's holding me back.
Right.
That's the only way that he would have that much power to have Robert Saleh fired. And the GM and Douglas. He doesn't have that power. Like he hasn't played well.
Right.
So how does it? So for everybody out there that blamed Aaron Rodgers because of the body language he gave when he pushed Saleh off and all that type of stuff like that, and Saleh, the team was struggling or whatever, that believed that Aaron Rodgers had Robert Saleh fired, apologize to Aaron Rodgers. If that's the only thing you ever apologize to Aaron Rodgers about, apologize. Because he did not have the power, apparently, to be able to do something like that. Just thought about that. Sometimes I'm brilliant. Sometimes. Just think like this. My mind goes, man. Especially, you know, we're in L.A. We can do certain things. I'm just like sitting back, you know, doing certain things. And I'm like, huh? Yeah. That makes sense to me. And y'all know what I'm talking about. TJ, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. That makes sense with me. That makes sense. And then you wake up next day, I'm like, what was I talking about? Because you forgot. You know, it's one of the side effects.
Listen.
That's why I don't have a job.
You have got to be smoking something over there.
Yeah, pretty much. Once again, it's legal. It's legal. What are we talking about next? What I'm trying to look at the rundown here. We're going to take some more phone calls?
Yeah, man.
Let's do it. Call us, people.
Call us, man. 844-204-RICH. 844-204-RICH. Mike Hill in for Rich Eisen today.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and T.J. Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with no contest wrestling, with guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, the concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It was just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
I have a few questions about Cincinnati that you might have to know if it's true or false. You're from Athens, right?
I am, yeah.
It's a three-hour drive from Cincinnati, right?
Two and a half.
Oh, with a lead foot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay. I've got four aspects of Cincinnati, and I want to know if you're already ready to figure out about this city. I'm just picking that city out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false, Cincinnati, true or false with Joe Burrow, everybody. True or false, it's the birthplace of Academy Award-winning director Steven Spielberg.
False.
Is that true or false?
I have no idea.
It is true.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right, that's number one. Play-Doh was invented in Cincinnati, true or false?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say all these that you're saying are true.
Okay, it is true. Now, just hold on a second. Just because you can read a defense doesn't mean that you can read me right now, okay? This pre-snap. Cincinnati is the site of the United States' biggest celebration of Oktoberfest.
That's true.
Okay, you see, you do that right then and there.
I know about the parties, yeah.
You know
about, yeah.
Have you been to an Oktoberfest?
I have not,
okay.
No.
Are you going to have to talk about it with your team first?
We'll have to talk about
it. Okay, talk about it with your team. And the number one radio station in Cincinnati is WKRP.
That one, I have no idea.
Before his time,
it's
Rich.
False. There's a famous TV show called WKRP in Cincinnati that is way before your time. Have you never heard of it at all? Gosh darn it. I'm
older than most college football players, but I'm not that old.
I mean, we've heard you're older than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was in my recruiting class. Yeah.
Okay.
Couple months, I think.
And if you had one choice of a meal, would you pick crawfish or spaghetti with chili?
Crawfish.
Really?
I don't like all the the Cincinnati cuisine as far as all that stuff.
Not yet. Grater's
ice cream. I might learn to like it, but we'll see.
Okay, very good.
You want to check out a game live? Use Game Time Picks. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem code, spell out RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Fellas, what time is it?
Game time.
It's time to take a phone call. Mike in Richmond's been holding on for a while. Mike, what you got, bro?
What's up, Mike?
Mike, you there?
Mike, talk to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on.
Old Motorola.
Hold on.
Hello?
He's got a cricket. Is that Mike or Michelle?
Mike.
Go.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, there he is.
Mike, there
okay,
he is.
Mike, what's up, Mike?
Wow. Super. Listen, you guys have a great show. I love the team, Chris and TJ, and you're doing a great job, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
But
Thanks, buddy.
Calling about steelopathy, a term that I had to coin because as a lifelong Steeler fan, I started watching in 69, actually, as a kid, and the steelopathy, which I'm coining, is the neurotic repetition compulsion. That's when you stubbornly repeat the same pattern, even though it's not working.
It's also called insanity.
Mike Tomlin's a great coach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say he's great, but not as great as he could be, because he overplays his strengths and ignores his weaknesses and just doesn't improve. Here are some examples of why he's not Belichick. He had objectively poor pick of Canada for offensive coordinator and then stuck with him too long.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Kenny Pickett. Objectively poor pick, stuck with him too long. And Trubisky, almost the same thing. I watched the preseason, and Rudolph outplayed them both. But he was QB3 and wasn't brought in until their season was gone unless he saved it, and he did. So the other things, running on first down, my best estimate is 85% of the time. They did it against the best run defense in the league, against Baltimore. the yards per is well below what it is when they do anything else, yet they barely ever do anything else. So, and he keeps doing that. Now, that was pre-Tomlin. That was Steelers for going way back.
Mm-hmm.
The running yards per carry is better when they run on other downs than first after they pass on first, as best I can figure. It's hard to get all that. But the defense is stressed because of that, which means they aren't at their best late in the game because they're tired. So I just think they give away too many points, make games way closer than
Mike,
they should be.
Having said all that, aren't you happy with the season that you're having right now? And what, in your opinion, would be a successful season before we let you go?
What's a successful season?
This year, yep.
When the offense is a little more creative, they don't predictably, it's so predictable. I mean, I watched Tony Romo make fun of them, and it's true. Okay, well, this is where you do this, and it would work great, exploit their weakness. But this is Pittsburgh, so they're going to run it up the middle.
Yeah, well, and it's working out.
Success would be they quit doing that.
Okay.
Then I think they're a better team. They got a great record, but they should have been better, and the close games shouldn't have been so close.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Mike, appreciate your phone call, man. Good luck
Thank
the rest
you,
of the
Mike.
Way, man.
I appreciate taking it.
Okay, man.
All right.
Yep.
See Mike. It's a longtime Steeler fan right there.
That's 69. I mean, like, he's been there.
He's seen it all.
He's seen the steel curtain. I mean, like, he actually saw and remembers the steel curtain. I mean, like, up close and personally. Like, that's why I gave him some love. I gave him some time because, like, you know, he had a lot to get off his chest. All that success that this Steelers franchise has had, they still have expectations, which goes along to my point. If you're in Pittsburgh, you don't appreciate what you do, but on the outside looking in, like, man, there are plenty of teams of like, okay, well, it's a good organization. They're always there. Like, you know, they're going to have a good regular season at least.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us have had teams that we've
hand like, oh, I don't even want to watch the rest of the season. Like after week four, I'm like, oh, I have no hope. The season's over, right? I've been a Giants fan for a long time. That's been my way outside of 2 years ago, the way for the last 5 or 6 years. That like after week five, I'm like, I don't even want to watch the rest of the season.
Right. You're hoping for losses.
I'm hoping for losses.
Because you want a better draft pick.
But with the Steelers, you know, hey, we're at least going to be competitive during the regular season. More than likely, we're going to make the playoffs. We get into the playoffs. Anything happens, you got hope. At least you got hope.
Yep.
And that's all you can ask for sometimes, because only one team's going to win the entire thing. The only one team's going to win the entire thing. You're going to have sometimes you're going to have a dynasty. That few franchises have dynasties like the Steelers did in the 70s, like Kansas City has right now, like the Patriots had in the early 2000s, 2010. Few Dallas Cowboys, few teams have dynasties that you can rely on. Like we expect to get to the Super Bowl every year. Man, consistency matters when it comes to a fan base. And giving your team hope up until the final weeks of the season, sometimes I think a lot of people take that. But once you get spoiled, man, you know, you just want it all. Bottom line. But y'all got plans this weekend? Anybody got plans? Any good plans? CJ, you got any plans?
Nah, man. Last weekend was a sports-filled weekend with fights and boxing matches and
speaking of that, did you see the promoter for Jake Paul, the co-promoter, addressing that the fight was rigged?
Well, there's been a lot of conspiracy people on the reels and the talks of pointing out that Mike had some opportunities to really flatten him and then mysteriously didn't throw a punch.
All I'm saying is, as great as he looked in training, we didn't see that Mike Tyson from training in the ring that night.
Sure.
Now, I don't know what the contract says. We may never find out what the contract says, but it was like if he knocks him out in a certain amount of time, he's not going to get paid as much or whatever. Mike was in there for a payday at the end of the day. I knew Mike was in there for a payday when he had that interview with that little girl who was 14 years old.
Yeah, and he talked about legacy. And we're just dust and all that.
I like Mike trying to get paid. Mike don't give a damn about this fight.
Reportedly, he got $20
million. $20 million. And so if there was stipulations in the contract that stated that if he knocked him out early on, that he wasn't going to get paid as much or whatever, because he did pull a punch. I saw one where
he had him.
Jake was wide open. Uh-huh. And he actually stopped. He pulled his punch.
Yep.
He could have knocked him out right there. And anyway, he caught me. I got caught up in it. You know, thinking that, okay, we're going to see the old Mike Tyson, and what we got was an old Mike Tyson. Yep. We got an old Mike Tyson. I mean, the only thing slower than Mike Tyson in the ring that night was the Netflix speed, pretty much.
A lot of buffering.
The stream. That was the only thing slower.
A lot of buffering.
Mike got a better chance of winning. Mike got a better chance of winning a spelling bee than a boxing match these days. I'm telling you, that's about it. And I don't care. I ain't scared of Mike no more.
You should be.
I'm not afraid of you, Mike Tyson. I don't care. I'll challenge you in the ring anytime, buddy.
I'm not afraid. After what I saw against Jake Paul, right?
Yeah, but see, you don't have a contract that stipulates he can't knock your block off.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You're not paying Mike $20 million to stand there. So,
because in a street fight, it's a whole different story, Mike.
I ain't scared of you, Mike Tyson. What?
Did you hear he chimed in on TJ and the Cowboys?
He chimed in what?
On TJ and the Cowboys.
Oh, goodness.
Sign the contract, big boy. Come on, sign the contract.
Sign the contract, big boy. Go ahead and sign. Sign the contract, TJ.
I just want Mike to know that it's Mike Hill who's the one talking outside of his
Mike
neck.
Hill. Y'all afraid
not
of Mike
the
now?
Other brother on the show.
I can't believe y'all, after what you saw, you're afraid of Mike.
Again, you won't have a contract stipulating that he can't pull a punch when he rolls up on you in the mean streets of El Segundo.
I care about you. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to
don't
go out
do
like
this.
That.
Mike Tyson, I'm not afraid of you anymore, man.
Oh, man, Mike.
Wow. Your legacy. Your
I'm not jumping in.
Everything you built up, man, you know. I know you're 60 years old now, Mike.
You know, you go out to the bar and one of your buddies is like talking smack. Like, come on, man. I don't want to fight tonight. You're on your own, Mike.
Look, Brockman, you know, O'Shea and I, we have on our wrestling podcast, like, what four wrestlers would you want to help you fight out of a bar? I'm not helping you in this one, though. So I'm going to take that question out because you brought this upon yourself.
Yeah.
Bro, you know, I ain't scared, bro. Don't let the light skin fool you, bro. You understand? Mike, whenever. I'll pee my pants in my I wouldn't even just pee my pants. It'd be other things coming out too.
Mike Tyson's here.
Hey, hour three. Bring him out.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year?
Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.